Good morning. It's Friday, the 25th of July. Welcome to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. At 9:30 this morning, we'll start with our Roundtable panel. Joining us for the discussion, Teresa Bourgeois, Aaron Pasitti, and Mark Whitman. The panel is coming up. In our 11 o'clock hour, Carol Leifer, comedian, comedy writer, and producer, will be here this morning. She recently won an Emmy as executive producer of Hacks. She will talk about her book, How to Write a Funny Speech. And then horsewoman and journalist Christina Keim will be with us, a veteran of the equine industry who believes the unwanted horse crisis and the effort into preventing and taking care of the animals urgently needs our collective voice and attention. She will tell us about her new book, Unwanted, The Causes and Effects of America's Horse Population Crisis. But first, something very special this morning. Last month, public radio and television stations across the country learned Congress voted to eliminate all federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. CPB distributes federal money to more than 1,500 non-commercial TV and radio stations. Last month, when we came to you and asked for help to fill the gap of money lost, well, you rose to the occasion. Boy, did you rise to the occasion, pledging almost half the money that we're expected to lose. And you did so in just 6 hours. In your messages and calls, many of you asked how we can help also support rural stations who do such important work and who face a steep, steep climb to make up for the very large cuts in federal funding. So for the next half hour, we're going to focus on our friends at North Country Public Radio. Well, we are not permitted to ask you for donations to another organization on the air. We will remind you that their website is ncpr.org, and you can find out more information there. Joining me in Studio A, WAMC President and CEO Sarah Gilbert. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. Happy Friday, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
It's good to have you here. We also welcome North Country Public Radio's station manager, Mitch Tyke. Mitch, good morning. How are you?
I am doing just great. Thank you so much for having me.
It is a delight to have you with us. I am so happy that you are here to talk about the important work that NCPR does, answer questions that folks may have to see how they can, you know, help in all this in these regards. And I'm just very nice to have you with us. How are things going? What's the last month been like for you?
I think sleep is overrated, and that's a good thing because I have some really weird dreams these days about rescission. I had a dream that I was on a game show, and one of the topics was rescission. So it's been that kind of month, but it's also been a really gratifying month to hear people coming out of the woodwork and talking about how important we are and how important the whole system is. So, you know, a little of this, a little of that.
Did you win money on the game show?
You want to hear the worst part about this dream? The worst part about this dream is not only was it a game show, and this is the God's honest truth, it was a game show in Ireland, so the category was O rescission, O apostrophe.
Wow. That is an exceptional brain you have there.
And I had to dress up as a giraffe. But other than that, it was all fine. Well, we've been talking, Sarah Gilbert, about what this means for this radio station.
We have.
And basically about 5% of our budget. Mm-hmm. So, Mitch, this is a higher figure for you of how it affects you.
Yeah, it's about between 12 and 15% of our budget, a total of over the 2 years of rescission, $670,000, which is a fair chunk of change when you're a small rural station like ours.
Mitch, tell us a little bit about some of the programming that you do. I mean, I think a lot of our listeners are also very often on your patch, so some people will be aware of some of the lovely work that you do. But tell us a little bit about the local programming that you provide.
Sure, absolutely. And you're right. I think one of the nice things about NCPR and our relationship with WAMC and elsewhere, actually, is, you know, we have a lot of people who spend some of their year in the North Country, in the Adirondacks and places mm-hmm. like that, and some of the year back in the Capital District. So there is some familiarity. But we try to sound as much like the North Country as we can. So while we carry Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Fresh Air and some of the NPR and other national and international shows that people are used to hearing on public radio, we also do a special show. Well, special. It's a regular show, entirely locally produced news and features at 8 o'clock every morning called Northern Light. Which has been a part of our schedule for decades. It was originally called the 8 o'clock hour. So people who might have been coming up to the North Country for a long time might remember it as that. We renamed it Northern Light a few years ago. But we also feature a locally hosted music show in the afternoon every weekday from 3 to 5. And they're different every day. On Mondays, it's something called the Dean's List, which is kind of an alternative pop rock music show. Tuesdays, it's a show called Trail Mix, which is a little closer to folk and Americana. Wednesday, it's the Radio Bob Rhythm and Blues Show, which I found a program guide for this the station from 1981 recently. Mm-hmm. And Bob Sauter, who was then our engineer and he's also been our bookkeeper over the years, he's been doing that show since 1980 or 1981. And it's, you know, a lot of Rolling Stones. You'll hear Martha and the Vandellas, everything from the rock pantheon. Every once in a while, he'll throw a disco song in there.
Ooh.
So if you really have a hankering to hear Disco Inferno on public radio, that is where you can find it. We have a bluegrass show called String Fever on Thursdays and a world dance music show called The Beat Authority on Fridays from 3 to 5. So, but the thing about it is that we are a staff of about 17 people, and the North Country is really the kind of place that you have to want to go to go to. And so the people that work here really want to be here. And I think that's what makes this such a special relationship between the station and our audience. You know, we're all kind of in the North Country together. And that's what we've been about for years and years.
So you were on for decades and decades. And then from my understanding, 1998 comes along and there's sort of a seismic change in thought as to how you do things.
Yeah, absolutely right. In fact, I was fortunate, I guess I'll put the fortunate in quotation marks, to be here in 1998 as a young reporter on a two-person news team. It was me and our news director, Martha Foley. And we had this big ice storm that hit the Northeast, especially northern New York and northern New England and on into Ontario and Quebec. And it was a formative moment for me personally, a formative moment for the station, and a formative moment for the region. At that point, we had probably 7 or 8, maybe 9 transmitters and translators around the North Country. But we went by the moniker North Country Public Radio at that point. But 1998, when this ice storm hit and we were forced to find new ways to do radio and new ways to think about what a community can mean to its radio station and a radio station can mean to its community, I think it was what really crystallized in the minds of the leaders here then that we really could be North Country Public Radio. We could really create the sense of community across the region. And since then, the station has been growing on this sort of slow and sustainable path. I mean, that's what, 27 years ago now. Yeah. And now we have 34 transmitters and translators. The legal ID at the top of the hour sounds very much like what I just heard at the top of your hour, only slower. it's a North Country. Everything's a little slower up here. But we have we've really taken the idea that we can create this sense of the North Country seriously over the past 25 years. And it shows both in the kind of programming we do on the air, but also the kinds of special programming we do. We do things like a story slam where we go out into the community and with the Adirondack Center for Writing and invite people out to bars and restaurants to tell true stories. And you know, it's not necessarily about creating radio content. It's about creating, you know, something that we can just all get together around.
That's absolutely lovely. I mean, what's going through my head as I'm listening to you talk, Mitch, and you and I have talked about this off and on, you know, since we started going through the whole rescission process and getting to know each other, is this is the joy of a public radio network, which is full of stations which reflect the communities that they serve, right? So that's why NCPR sounds and feels different to WAMC, which sounds and feels different to WNYC, just to take three examples in our state alone. They are intended and built by the community to serve the needs of the community, and to be a companion and provide a sense of belonging and place, really, which you just don't find anywhere else. And yet, together as a network, we are part of one big community in which certain things are held to be, you know, sacrosanct and important, you know, sort of fair, transparent, fact-based reporting, you know, culture which uplifts unheard voices. All of those things are front and center in mission for all of us, but they manifest in different ways depending on the community that you're in.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better myself.
Oh, thank you.
exactly. It's why, you know, I think many of us in this field kind of really resist the idea of, for lack of a better term, strip mall public radio. You know, we wouldn't want to be a network that sounds exactly the same no matter where you go. And mm-hmm. and you're right, there are some things that are sacrosanct, and there are some guideposts that guide everything that all of us do. But when you turn on North Country Public Radio, when you're sitting in your little cottage on, you know, Blue Mountain Lake, for example, it's going to sound necessarily different, and it should sound different than when you tune into WAMC and you're getting the kids ready for school in Delmar or wherever, or when you're on vacation, you know, in Los Angeles, and maybe you're listening to Southern California Public Radio. Mm-hmm. These are stations of their place.
I am interested. First of all, I want to remind folks that we are talking to Mitch Tyke from North Country Public Radio. The panel will start at 9:30, but we're spending some time this morning to talk about our friends at North Country Public Radio, to remind you that, like when we came to you and said we need to help fill the gap, they're doing the same thing, and we want to remind you of how important that is, and give you a little tap on the shoulder to remember. A lot of people said, how do we help? How do we reach out to these other rural stations that we talked about that were having troubles even greater than most stations? Sarah Gilbert is here as well, WAMC's president and CEO. Mitch, give us a sense of how you see things changing. What will the result be in a 15% loss in funding?
Well, my most fervent hope is that nothing will change except for the amount of money that we'll have to raise from sources besides the federal government. But, you know, it's going to take a whole lot of work between now and 2 years from now, and potentially on into the future. But the things that could change, you know, we have this huge area that we cover, and you know, this is a familiar refrain at WAMC as well. You know, the area that we cover is the size size of Switzerland. We have a handful of reporters in places besides our headquarters in Canton, but even they, you know, we have a reporter in the Adirondacks, we have a reporter in Plattsburgh, but the area that they physically have to cover to do right by a story is vast. And so when we start thinking about, you know, areas to cut, do we cut things like travel reimbursement? Do we start covering stories in other ways by doing remote interviews, which, you know, they might tell a story, but it's not the same kind of story that public radio is known for, by, you know, rolling up our sleeves and wearing out our shoe leather and mixing our metaphors, apparently, and going out and covering the story the way it needs to be covered. You know, the other thing that we look at is, so, you know, the money that we have been getting from the federal government for lo these many years is what we've used to purchase national programming from, you know, from NPR, from American Public Media, from the Public Radio Exchange, et cetera, et cetera. And without that money from the federal government, we have to take what we had been getting from our local listeners, our business underwriters, and apply some of that to buying this national programming. And it becomes a different value proposition. You know, we have to tell our donors that now they're kind of paying full freight for everything. And you know, it's just going to be a challenge to do all the things that we've been able to do for the last 57 years here. And that's, I think, the hardest part for me to stomach, is the idea that we've been growing slowly but steadily over these years, and we might be in a situation where we can't grow, or we even have to contract for a little while before we can be, you know, sustainable again. So I think that's a kind of long and meandering answer to your short question.
No, I think it makes perfect sense. And I'm going to pick up the baton of analogies, which probably should be set aside. But we are in our own version of that ice storm, I think. And what's more is that, you know, in this particular moment, as all sorts of other media are, you know, subsiding, newspapers have disappeared, communities are left without the kind of support that they need from organizations like ours if we disappear. So, you know, you and I have been talking about how important it is to sort of stand shoulder to shoulder and just make sure that we are doing everything that we can to connect our communities and to support our organizations and to really stand together in this. And actually, we have an event coming up, which we're doing together, which I'm quite excited about. I'm going to let you talk about it, though, Mitch.
Yes. So this event is coming up in early September. It's September 8th, yes. He says, without the calendar in front of him.
You are right.
And it is a joint production that the two stations are doing live from Lake Placid, a place that we both serve. It's right in our backyard and in sort of your extended backyard. We're going to be talking about the issues that the North Country is facing in this era of tariffs and the impact that's caused by kind of changing economics, especially when you consider that that tourism in this area is way down since things have sort of changed between the U.S. and Canada, literally as you were introduced. That question, I got an email popped up from one of our Canadian listeners wondering, you know, how many folks are giving from Eastern Ontario these days. We have definitely heard as a public radio station that, you know, people on the other side of the border in Canada are really kind of concerned, but they're also really grateful for hearing stations like ours who have, you know, their feet on the ground in the U.S. and are able to report on the state of things between our two countries. So we'll be talking about tariffs and tourism and the kind of future of the way things are working in the North Country when it comes to attracting people here to help build the economy.
Yeah, and that's, you know, in joining together to host that event, Which Joe will be hosting, by the way, everybody. So that's something to look forward to, along with North Country Public Radio host too. But you know, joining shoulders to produce that event is so important because things don't. I'm going to say things which are staggeringly obvious here. Forgive me, but nothing happens in a vacuum. What happens to the people in the area that we'll be hosting that event in is the result of things which are happening locally, things which are happening nationally, things which are happening over the border in Canada. All of these things come together to create the world that we're living in. And our job is to try to join the dots for people and give people an opportunity to surface concerns at a local level and have a conversation about how, you know, we as a region can start to try to find solutions to the situation that we find ourselves in. So it's going to be good to be in the same room and joining our audiences. And that show will be live. We're doing more and more of these out in the community on the road live events just to make sure that we're out there and talking to people. And actually, I want to go back to, can you tell us a little bit more about your storytelling in the pub experience? Can you, I want to hear, tell me a little story about your experience of doing one of those, because that sounds both delightful and also a little risky, alcohol plus storytelling.
Well, and that's why it's not live on the radio, but... well, and in fact, you know, when you go to WAMC.org right now and you have this wonderful pop-up box that that mentions the show that we're doing at this very moment, the picture that accompanies that box is actually taken from our most recent Story Slam. Mm. The event is called The Howl. For people who might be familiar with the moth as a going concern, it's a little like that. And you know, we have probably 12 or 13 of these events over the course of a season, and we go all around the area to bars and pubs and restaurants and so forth. The picture that I'm talking about was taken at a place called Otto's Abode in Wanakena. Sarah, are you familiar with Wanakena, New York?
I have not had the pleasure yet, but I want to.
It is a tiny town, less than 1,000 people, in the most southeastern part of St. Lawrence County. And the amazing thing about it, Otto's Abode is kind of a general store. It's the Wanakena is a place that's, you know, it's really like the edge of a thumbnail. And the amazing thing about it is when we go there to do the Howl, we are the only game in town. And we did this last year and we were concerned because we set up, and it's in a gazebo across the little gravel road from where the building itself is. Mm. And, you know, so you've got a gazebo and you've got some picnic tables and a grassy area that when an event's not going on is also a croquet pitch. And so last year we got there and set up and nobody was there. It was like 6:45. It was supposed to start at 7. There were like a handful of people sitting at the picnic tables. And then at 7:05, what seemed like the entire town migrated to this spot carrying folding chairs and blankets. And you realize that they were all coming from their homes or their summer homes or whatever. And it's this kind of magical place. And so we have a theme for each season, actually two themes, one that goes the first half of the season and the other that goes the second half, amazingly. And so the stories have to be true, or as true as people can remember. They have to be 5 minutes, told without notes, without props, and have to involve the person that is talking. So you can't get on stage and talk about your brother or unless you're in the story as well. So this past half season, the theme was Kitchen Confidential. Mm. And you can take the theme wherever you want and go with it. What's unique about these events is a staff member from each of the two organizations bookends the event. So I typically tell the first story when I'm co-hosting the event. And Natalie Thill, who runs the Adirondack Center for Writing, she'll tell the last story. I usually tell the first story to set the bar very low. But I told this kind of ridiculous story about the first day of the new millennium and having my bagel-related injury caused by foolishly trying to pry a frozen bagel open with a steak knife.
Oh, that's not good.
I apologize to you and your listeners for the mental image that caused.
Now, what do Otto's pedal?
Otto's. You know, the thing that brings the restaurants and bars, the reason they want to host is that we bring in a ton of customers.
And
so Otto's Abode is kind of a general store in this case.
A general store.
So the people wander across. What's that?
Can you get bait?
I believe you can get bait. Okay, I don't know that a lot of people are bringing
mental images. I've got it now. Okay, yes. Got it. Yeah.
But we've also, you know, we'll go to places that are much more, you know, kind of traditional bars. We were at, we go to Ausable Brewing in Keysville every year, which is this lovely place. It's got a big pavilion and a food truck outside, and you know, people will drink the locally brewed beer and sit and listen to the stories. There's some really amazing events that take place, and the thing that makes it so magical is that, you know, you've got a group of people that are brought together by the idea that they're all just going to, it's like a microcosm of what public radio is about. It's like community and people telling stories and sharing the experience together.
We have just about 3 or 4 minutes left, Mitch, and I'm hoping you can just talk, and both of you, to just talk about how important this collaborative effort and collaborative efforts like this are, that we aren't competing with one another. We're working together and trying to strengthen public radio as a whole.
I don't know. Sarah, do you want to kick that off?
Okay. Yes. Happily handed off. Yeah. I mean, look, we're in a moment, right? And this is a moment when, you know, any sort of old school rivalries that stations like ours might have had in the past, that it's not the moment for those anymore. I mean, what is front and center is not, any territorial instincts. It's about supporting the communities that we together support. And I was saying before, you know, nothing happens in a vacuum. We don't exist in a vacuum either. The populations move around, they have different needs where they are. For me, you know, this is really a moment about celebrating the regional differences and finding room, making sure that there is still something out there that provides for meeting people where they live, for going to Otto's Abode and for gathering people, bringing out folding chairs, being absorbed in a moment, being the pleasure of being together in a space and experiencing the same thing. They all feel like things that as a society we are starting to lose sight of and to lose touch with. And so for me, this moment is, you know, in our sort of virtual ice storm, it's a moment to remember what's important and why we're here and what we need to achieve together, and doubling down on that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the strengths of this system is in its differences, exactly what you were talking about earlier, the idea that, you know, we have all of these similarities in terms of our mission and what we do and how we do it, and yet the essence of NCPR and the essence of WAMC, for as different as they are, we serve a really similar goal to our audiences. And you're absolutely right. I think this is not the time to be thinking about the things that, you know, it's a cliche, but it's not what divides us. It's what unites us. And I think that's the biggest risk we run in this, I don't know, this, I want to call it an unprecedented situation. So I guess I'll call it that.
There you go.
We run the risk of being divisive. And I think this collaborative effort, whether it's us talking on the radio this morning or the collaborative show that we're doing at the beginning of September, or really, I hope, where this goes, you know, for good, it's just an indication that I think things are different in a good way. And, you know, what makes NCPR strong and what makes WAMC strong makes the entire system strong. And that's what we really need today. And I think, you know, we're also looking at some stations. There's a public TV station in the region, Mountain Lake PBS, that's even at more dire risk, I think, than NCPR. And so, you know, we're looking at ways that even as a small rural radio station, we can chip in and help Mountain Lake. So I think that's been the most gratifying part of this whole situation is how unified I think it's made so many of us in this industry.
NCPR.org for more information. Mitch Tyke, I thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. We look forward to seeing you on September 8th and getting into a little more trouble.